Good morning, not too bad.
That's the way. Now, 15 bars and clubs across the city have received exemptions from the Sydney lockout laws due to a Supreme Court ruling, as I mentioned. Is this the beginning of the end for the lockout laws?
Look, it's really hard to tell. We know that the government's trying to appeal that decision, as rightly they should, because if it is found that, in fact, these venues could have traded with their original hours over the last 2 years, and that does open up the government to possible legal action, because obviously they've lost revenue last 2 years. You times that, by 2 years, by 15 venues, it could work out to be a lot of money.
I bet. How did establishments qualify for these exemptions? What sort of places are we talking about?
Look, it's a little bit foggy. What was reported in the news was strip bars and also live music venues, which is a pretty odd combo. There are a few people who were joking that they should open up a bar where the bands all do a strip tease to just to cover themselves. But I think it does have more to do with the specific license types. For example, a theatre license. And in the case of the Smoking Panda, it was something to do with a hotel accommodations license to serve liquor.
Right. Okay. Now, we're saying, as we sort of mentioned there, it's 15 establishments that are looking for the exemptions. How many, do we know a total number of venues in the city that these laws do affect?
No, I really don't know. What was originally reported was 7 or 8, and then there's probably a handful more that might possibly fall under the possible exemption. So, look, I'm not too sure, but regardless, I think we're going to hear what's going to be handed down in this Callanan review into the lockouts soon enough in the next couple of weeks, and then the government's going to respond to that. And what we've been pushing for is for a lot of culturally significant venues, whether that's queer safe spaces, live music venues, etc., to be exempt or at least be able to apply for exemptions anyway.
Right.
So, look, this really is just, I guess, a little bit of hype on the road to opening up the city again.
Mm. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there's a Galaxy poll released that finds just about 75%, 74.6% of young Australians of 18 to 35 support the laws. But there are some questioning the poll's validity. Does Keep Sydney Open accept these results of the survey?
Look, there's been a lot of talk in the community about whether this poll is valid or not. And certainly if anyone knows anything about polls, there's all sorts of ways in which the results can perhaps be engineered. Mm. So whether that's leading questions, whether that's you're offering a multiple choice, or is it just yes, no, the age groups, but then also the geographic area as well. So are you really aware of what happens within a 5K radius of the city when you live 6 or 7 hours drive away?
Right.
So look, we're going to give the poll result the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
And so I just released a video yesterday saying, well, if there is so much support for the lockouts, then you guys should probably have a rally because the government may possibly lift the lockouts.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot at stake. And if it really is an issue, if there is that much support behind it, then have a rally like we did with 15,000 people last February.
Let's see some feet on the ground. Now,
there's
a mayoral election coming up in Sydney. Now, local government didn't make these laws, but the council we've just had, has the council we've just had done enough to fight the lockout laws?
Look, it's quite difficult. The City of Sydney was very quiet about the lockouts, but look, I think that's totally understandable because don't forget we had all of the fracas about council amalgamations and the IPART report. So I would imagine that Clover Moore in the City of Sydney was probably more worried about being amalgamated rather than fighting the lockouts. Now, when it was found that the City of Sydney was safe, that's when Clover Moore started coming out a little bit more forcefully about her stance on the lockouts. So, look, they've been very supportive since, but as have all the other candidates also, because they're all inner city based, and I think they've seen the degradation of the vibrancy on the streets in Sydney.
Right. Now, are you aware of a mayoral candidate for City of Sydney that will fight to keep Sydney's nighttime economy?
Pardon, sorry, can you repeat that?
Are you aware of a mayoral candidate who will fight for Sydney's nighttime economy?
Well, I've met with a few, and from what I can gather, they almost all will, well, at least support it. I guess there's a difference between fighting for and supporting.
Yeah.
And so there's really no one clear out front at the moment, because I think, you know, relationships with local and state governments can often be strained. So, it's hard to tell.
Now, a question here, and I don't want to come out sort of sound like I'm all guns blazing, bit of a question without warning. If these laws save one life, are they not worthwhile?
Well, no, not really, because I don't see where that rule is applied in other areas of society. You know, the fact that we can name the victims of one-punch deaths by name, I think, gives you an indication of how rare and extraordinary this issue of alcohol-fueled violence is. You know, can anyone name someone who's died on the roads in New South Wales this year? You know, it's hundreds of people. But the fact is that there are more things that are worse in terms of things that cause misadventure and death. And the fact is that Sydney was always a safe place. In fact, the government a few years ago was spruiking that Sydney was one of the safest cities in the world. You know, we have incredibly low crime levels here. You know, it's just not an argument that stacks up. And I think the only people who are making that argument are those people who have an agenda to want to see Sydney's nightlife crumble.
Okay. Do you think anything needs to change, though, as far as the drinking culture in Sydney in particular?
Yeah, well, you know, I think when you're talking about people's behaviour on a night out, you're actually talking about some very deep sociological issues that are more linked with things like masculinity and culture and education and all that kind of stuff, which the government, incidentally, has not spent a single cent on since this whole issue flared up a couple of years ago. So, you know, if the government's really serious about making change, then rather than just forcing everyone home, then let's tackle it at an education level. So, there's a lot of other solutions, and that's what our campaign has been about. Don't send people home. Don't close down businesses and sacrifice jobs. Give people a place to dance, but then also have a look at the other solutions, whether it's transport, policing, making sure that the restaurant and retail hours are extended to invite more people from a greater range of ages onto our streets, make it more inclusive. You know, that's what we need to do.
Hard to disagree with that, I think, anyway. Tyson, thanks so much for joining us on the